Once again, I'm amazed how the space is getting narrow. Please, for a while, at least for 18 months, be able to not be in comfort as we have before and get about 7 people back in each pew. So that will help those who come in. I know it's a little uncomfortable, but just be patient. About 16 months. 18 months, and we will be sitting in a larger auditorium. I had the news from the fire department that came here on Friday that all our drawings are in their hands and for their approval and their recommendation to our architect. And so the city is more than anxious that we leave this place and sitting in the other place so they can get the taxes from this place. All right. Let's look to the Lord. Father, keep us alert to your word this morning, because without your word, we have nothing to say. And without your spirit, we cannot believe. So help us to draw from the scripture a clear picture of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus we pray. Amen. If you open your Bible to Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4, page 1369, our brother read, I'd like to focus my attention to verse 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, page 1369, if you're using the Bible that is on the pew. The Apostle Paul trying to present an argument about the birth of Jesus. And the verse said, it started in that way. But when the fullness of time, said the scripture, was come, God sent forth his son, made of the women, so he was human, made under the law, so he was subject unto God's law. I want you to look upon a scripture now in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7 to 8, page 1 to 40. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 7 to 8. This is a very important scripture that will reveal to you God's surprise gift. That's what I want to talk to you this morning. God's surprise gift. You will be who was surprised that Jesus was born. Look carefully what Paul said to the church of Corinth. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That's why sometimes we read the Bible and we say, this cannot be. How can this be? You read Genesis and God speak and the entire world comes into being. And you said, that's impossible to believe. That's right. That's what Paul said. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. And now look to this. This is my key to the sermon God's surprise gives. Look at this. Which none of the princes of these worlds knew. For had they know it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Do you got it? Paul saying this. Here is the key. God holds his word in a mystery. Satan cannot know what God's going to do next. Because if Satan, say Paul, will knew what happened at the cross, thereafter, he will not crucify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, which none of the princes of this world, if you are in Corinthians, if you move your Bible a little bit to Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 2, perhaps you get an idea what the definition of the word the princes of this world means. In Ephesians 2, verse 2, page 1273, the Bible says, wherein in time past, talking to the Christians, you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan. So when the Bible said in Corinthians, none of the princes of this world, is not in reference to political princes, but it's in reference to the spiritual kingdom that dominates the world. We Christians all the time make quotations on 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Remember, we always make mention of that. But I want to talk to you about God's surprise gift so that in this Christmas we get a message of encouragement to ourselves. A message that will make you strong. Now remember what Paul said. You have to be a little bit like a computer. Keep your RAM with 2 megabytes, will you? And so you put things in your memory. First, God said, on my day, the day I want to, the day I have chosen before the foundation of the world, that day I will come down to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 4:4. As God is calling, in theology, it's called God's decree. God said, this is what I want to do. And you can read about it in Psalm 2. That's the decree of God, where today you have been my son. Today I have sent you to the earth. And my clock limit me to expose all of these theological thoughts. And I'm working with the radio for the next year to have my hour of preaching so that you can be informed. You're going to be informed. So Galatians 4:4 said, God chose the day. And then 1 Corinthians 2, remember, Paul said, Satan didn't know. Because if Satan will know that Jesus was born and then die at the cross and judge him forever, Satan will never crucify the Lord. So God's surprise gift is on Satan. All right? He pulled the rug out of Satan and he made it. Now, let's see the panorama of the scripture, how these develop. Satan is a created being to begin with. I want you to keep some things in memory. Satan is a created being. He shares none of the attributes of Almighty God, meaning that he is limited in knowledge and in space and power. The three laws of physics. Limits in knowledge, space, and power. When it comes to predicting what God is going to do next, Satan has to rely on what he can figure out, what he remembers from the time less past. Remember when he was in heaven, when he resided in the heavens as a number one angel, and what he reads in the Holy Scripture. That's the only knowledge that he has. His memory when he was with God, the splendor, the glory, the magnificent God that he was with, and then the Scriptures that God wrote. Now, since the Holy Spirit does not enlighten his understanding, Satan sees as the world sees, not with the mind of Christ. When Satan does something, he does something like we were unbelievers. We have not the Holy Spirit, remember our time? And we try to understand things with our finite mind, the things of God. And until the Holy Spirit click in our mind, we now see things in a different way. Where Satan only sees things in a very minor way. Having this in mind, look now at what God said about people without the Holy Spirit. This is the statement from God. Ephesians 4 and verse 18. People without the Holy Spirit. Page 1275. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18. And look at what God said. This is what people are without the Holy Spirit. And this is what Satan is because he doesn't have the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. This is what the scripture says. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. People without the sparkle of the Holy Spirit in their life, their heart is in darkness. Maybe the doctors, MDs, maybe they be PhDs, maybe they be engineers, maybe be brokers, maybe be who knows who they are, but their understanding of God is darkened because they do not have the Holy Spirit. Once we understand this, 100 puzzles fall into place in all the scripture. Remember when you witness to somebody the scripture, that person doesn't know nothing about the scripture and cannot understand anything about the scripture. That's when people said, "Would be good if you get in a place where you can discuss creationism and so on." No, be good. No, because these people need to know the Lord first to understand creation. Unless you don't know the Lord, you will not understand creation. See, they are in darkness. They are science people, tiny little like this compared to God. And so they're trying to minimize God and put God into their mind. And that's what Satan does. But he's a failure. The Apostle Paul pointed out, remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that had Satan known what God was up to, he would never have crucified Jesus. But God pulled the wool over the devil's eyes and fooled him and surprised him. And so the birth of Jesus was a surprise on Satan. You will see. Sometimes God faced Satan head on, like at Mount Carmel. Have you read 1 Kings chapter 18? When Elijah defeated the prophet of Baal in a fire calling context. Remember, Elijah said, "You call your prophet and bring fire," and it was something like that. And then Elijah brought fire and even the stones were melted. Other times, the Lord used an ambush to fool his enemies. To me, Christmas is one of those times, and let me show it. Christmas is an ambush for Satan, and he beat it, and he became defeated. We're going to see it now. This is all introduction. Now comes the real stuff. Follow me. Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, page 1007. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, you know it by heart. Page 1007. Here is what God said. And here's what Satan read. Micah chapter 5, verse 2. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from all, from everlasting." God gave that slip information to the ancient people. Right there in Bethlehem Ephratah is going to be born one who is from everlasting to everlasting. Satan got that information. You know, Satan can read. He knew from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2 that the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. He knew it. Any unbeliever at the time of the birth of Jesus knew that God has said in Bethlehem will be the Messiah. His birth. What Satan did not know was the timing of the Savior's birth. See, nobody knows God's timing. Unless you play Satan. You don't know God's timing. See? So in another of his endless efforts to thwart the purposes of God, Satan pulled in demons from around the world to concentrate on the Holy Land, specifically the region of Bethlehem. How do I know? That's the reason for the innumerable cases of demon possession in the New Testament. You read everywhere in the New Testament, and no in another part of the Bible, no in the book of Romans, no in the book of Acts, just a sporadic. But boy, before the birth of Christ, in the gospel, you hear demon possessed people one after the other, because legions of demons was guarding to see where that baby is going to be born, in Bethlehem. Remember that. The demons practically outnumber the citizens of Bethlehem. They serve as Satan's spy and were charged with keeping an eye out for godly young couples about to have babies. Satan was laying in wait for the Messiah. He was ready to go, ready to get the Messiah right at the birth, right there in Bethlehem. Now, what God will do? God knows Satan has an army over there. They give you a few things. First thing God did was to choose a man and a woman, not from Bethlehem, but from Nazareth, far north than Bethlehem. Secondly, he saw to it that women's purity and morality will be doubted. Remember Matthew 1, Joseph said, no, I'm going to get married with this girl. She came to see me and she's pregnant and we are not married yet. I never touched her. Where has she been? So God chose somebody that you can doubt about it. Some real human being. The devil can count. He knows it takes 9 months to have a baby. He had no way of knowing of Gabriel's visit to Mary and Joseph or the miracle's conception of this baby. He had no idea what God's going to do. If he heard at all of these young Nazarene couple, he quickly discounted them. Certainly, the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy God, he remembered from heaven, would never use such obvious sinners as Joseph and Mary. So Satan will discard these people. The third thing God did was to arrange to move Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem in time just for the birth, but not so as to draw attention to themselves. There was not a big couple coming to Bethlehem. Was not a king and the queen coming to Bethlehem. They were nothing. You read in the book of Luke that Caesar Augustus had a decree for the census. When Caesar Augustus put out a call for a census of the empire, it was God that put that in his heart. How do I know it? Look in the Bible, Proverbs, in chapter 21, verse 1, page 736. Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 1, page 736. These I know that God manipulated the heart of the king for this event. The Bible says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turn it whatsoever he will. He manipulate the leaders of this world. He is in control. So the most powerful tool in the world is not a leader, is you praying for Christian leaders. Mary and Joseph were among the thousand returning to their ancestral homes for the census. And I thought perhaps the Roth experienced a primitive form of gridlock like here in America, with Bethlehem's inns and available homes all filled. The young couple took the only thing they offered to him, a stable, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's going to be born in a stable. That was God's plan, my friend. That was not a casualty. That was not something sad. Now remember, Satan and his army is looking for a king coming in. He never will think in a stable for a king. Look in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 7, page 1106. The Gospel of Luke, in verse 7, page 1106. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn, said the scripture. And that was God's plan. That was God's strategic mind, so that Satan is completely out of business. Even if the devil's agents were extremely vigilant, they would have dismissed the young family camping out in a barn for a good reason. The God that Satan remembered from heaven resides in a level of glory unimagined for you and me on earth. The glory of God is, you and I, our mind cannot understand the glory of God in heaven. And Satan was there. And he saw it. He was the choir director, the book of Ezekiel, of the heavens. And he knew. He was one to one with God. And he thought, this God with such a glory will never have that come down to a barn. Satan was unsure of a lot of things, but one thing he knew, God would not allow this son to be born in a barn. That's the way the unbeliever think. The things of this world are very precious to them. The category, the way you dress, the house you have, the car you drive. These are very important and tells about your presence. One time, I try it. And I borrow a beautiful Maserati. And went to work. And boy, they greet me. They thought I was somebody. That's how the world think. They don't see inside, they see the outside. Doubtless he had told his demons to check the finest home for the most illustrious surroundings and outstanding parents. But the Lord fooled him. See, Satan was checking. There is a place here like this in California. You drive north. What's the place? What's the name? Way up after Palo Alto. Way up on the top. Where is it? Atherton. You go over there, homes, it starts at $5 million. Starts. I just went for fun. No, I just wanted higher. All right. Satan was looking there. He was looking in Atherton. Hey, check every home. See, that's the world thing. It's entirely different than God. Look in your Bible in 1 Corinthians, chapter 1 and verse 27, page 1 to 40. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1, at verse 27, page 1240. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. So Satan is thinking like all of us when we were with no Christ and no Holy Spirit. He's thinking worldly. And he missed the ball. If the only thing that Satan have is this world, he missed the boat with God. This is a basic lesson of a spiritual warfare with which historically Satan seems incapable of grasping. To this day, no carnal mind believe how Jesus was born because they are in darkness. When Jesus was born, God prepared a welcome committee of the lowest people on the planet. See, Satan was watching. How many kings are there? Not too long ago, Argentina has a new president, a lady, presidents from all over the world came over there, and I watched over the television the ceremony, and Satan was looking for something like that. Which are the delegates? And they invite the Secretary of State or the president of another country, no less, because they're going to make the inauguration of a president. And Satan thought, well, it's going to be the birth of the King of Glory, so let's check how many people from different countries are coming, how many kings are coming here, and who God has? Shepherds. Shepherds. Shepherds in Israel is like you think of the Mexicans who work in the field here in America. No offense to the Mexican, Leo. He got to take me to the airport, so I had to... But that's the way they think. And Jesus chose that as a committee. Shepherds. primarily to reassure the young parents that all was well. Satan had no way of seeing the angel that appeared to these shepherds that night, or hearing the clues and how to identify the baby. Remember, the shepherds, these unwelcome people, had the angels talk to them. Look in your Bible in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 12, page 1107. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and verse 12, page 1107. God said, "And this shall be a sign unto you." He told the shepherd this: "Ye shall find the babe wrapped in a swaddling cloth, lying in the Hilton, downtown Bethlehem." No, in a manger. It was a Hilton, the shepherds will not go. Remember the story of Joseph and his father? When Pharaoh, the king of kings, said, "Bring your father here." He said, "Sorry. My father is a migrant worker. I care less," he said. "Bring it right here." Because you don't go. America doesn't have this too much, but in different countries, you people meet by categories. If your father is rich, you meet with the rich. If you are poor, you meet with the poor. And you don't want to eat in a restaurant that's for poor people. You're going to eat in a restaurant with rich people and so on. You don't have that in your mind. But this is the way the world works, and works in Europe in that way. So here it is. The angels, better than AT&T, the angels came in and talked to the shepherds and said, "Here is the clue. Here is the baby. Here's the way it's going to be, that right there, laying in a manger." No one noticed or care when a small company of shepherds ran through the village looking for what else? In a stable. The demons say, "Who cares? Who are these? They are shepherds. What they are looking for in a stable? No, let them go." Is God good? Is God good? Later, after Joseph had moved his little family into a house, actually went 2 years, people put the kings, and they seen the kings never saw Jesus in a barn. They saw Jesus in a house in the Bible, so it took about 2 years for that. And Matthew 2:11 tells you, "And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. A delegation of foreign visitors arrived. These mighty science people, called Magi in English, from the east, from Iran, had created no smallest stir in Jerusalem as they naively, they don't know, announced for the search." Remember what they said? He said, "Where is the one who need to be born king of the Jew?" They were naive. Now Satan knows. What? Now the demons know. And the demons start typing in their computer back to Satan. "You know what I hear? I hear that these science people from Iran, they are saying they are looking for the one who is born king of the Jews." "Say, oh, that's it?" Say Satan. Look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. You don't believe me? Here's the scripture. Matthew 2, 2, page 1038. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 2. "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." These science people who study the heavens, they have the message from God, and they were looking for that star. Because of that, a sudden trip to Egypt was made necessary when murderous King Herod sent soldiers on a search and destroy mission for the babies at Bethlehem. Remember that? Herod said, "Kill all the babies, 2 years old down," because he calculated from the time the birth to the time these people are in the house, 2 years has passed by. So that's why King Herod said, from 2 years old down, kill all the male babies. But Jesus was already in Egypt. Satan would have fumed to learn that the object of his wrath were already out of town, slowly making their way toward Egypt, where they will remain until Herod's death. Eventually, When the Holy Family re-entered the country, they moved to Nazareth, where Joseph opened his carpentry shop. Satan had lost Jesus. So I'm telling all of these because some people said, Satan made me do it. Satan did this. Well, hold it. Remember, the message is encouragement. Don't blame Satan for your mistakes, please, will you? Here is Jesus. Satan is with an entire army, millions of people ready to go, and God fooled him in a beautiful way. Jesus grew up with a normal Jewish childhood in Nazareth, and he plays soccer, I'm very sure. He was not a super boy in a small village. If you're a super boy in a small village, everybody knows this. When I started playing soccer professionally, I was 18. I remember 18 and a half, I brought my wife to see my family. And you don't drive a car with a lady if you're not married for the purity of thoughts of the people. So we took the bus from her house. We stopped on the bus stop, and it's about 4 blocks to my house. And boy, it took about an hour because everybody, in a small place, everybody comes out, oh, Gabriel, everybody, who are these? What are these people? They listen to me playing soccer on radio. Oh, why? Raquel dancing like a sport. Oh, why? Quick that stuff. No, quick that stuff. I got the money for the house. No, we cannot quick the house. Where's the stuff? But you know, popular. And what I'm saying is, if Jesus was a super boy in a small village, everybody will know this. But he wasn't. Amazing, the town folks, with his miracles and inspired teaching, they don't saw that until Jesus' ministry started. So for 30 years, he was a nobody. You will call him, say, Jesus, I need to repair the door. And Jesus can look the door and go, cook, and repair. But no, he just used a hammer. The only thing Satan knew about Jesus is when John the Baptist revealed Jesus. Look in your Bible, John 1:29. That was about a few hours before his baptism. In John chapter 1 and in verse 29. Just a few hours before his baptism, the Bible said that the next day, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now Satan knows, yes, this is the real thing. And you know Matthew 4. Matthew 3, Jesus get baptized. Matthew 4, Satan attacked Jesus 3 times. Remember that? The temptation of Jesus. Jesus' baptism was the inauguration of his ministry. The gloss went off. Jesus was saying, here I am. Devil, do your worst to me. And he did it in chapter 4 of Matthew. The battle was joined. It came to a head on one day, about 3 years later, on a hill outside Jerusalem, when Satan thought that he win. For a couple of days, Satan rejoiced in victory after the crucifixion of Jesus. Then, on the first Easter Sunday, the resurrection was God's surprise gift to the entire world. Until there was a surprise gift to Satan. I came down and you cannot stop it. And then when he died on the cross, I died for you so that you can live again. And that is a surprise for many. Do you know that the devil cannot predict what you are going to do next either? God can read your thoughts, but the devil can't. All he has to rely on is what he figured out about you and me from what we have done in the past. The temptation we have yielded to, the mistakes you and I have made, the feelings you have expressed, the limits you have imposed on yourself. I was talking to the young people in prayer meeting last Wednesday, and as I analyze what people do in different denominations, sometimes we Baptists have limited God in prayer. Whatever limitations you put on, that's what you live for. You know, the devil figured this out. He assumed that you are never going to change, and he's correct. You can go to the psychologist. You can go to the psychiatrist. You can go to the best hospitals in Stanford or whatever, Presbyterian Hospital in New York, wherever you want to go, and you will not change until God changes. Pastor, what is the surprise gift for me today? That Jesus was born was a surprise gift for Satan. He pulled the rocks out of him and he lost. But what about me? What is the surprise? It is found in Colossians 1:27. And I don't know if I have the page number. Yes, 1283. Colossians 1:27. I had to fly over Brazil, São Paulo, Rio de Janeiro, for reasons of work when I was on radio. And as you fly over Rio de Janeiro to lower your altitude to the next city, São Paulo, come down, the pilot one time said, I want to make a turn around and lower the plane so that you can see the statue. And it's majestic. As the plane goes into the Atlantic Ocean and then goes into Rio de Janeiro, you know, Rio de Janeiro is 20 million people. São Paulo is 20 million people in the city. So as they move on, you see Christ standing on the top of that mountain, giant as can be, more than 10,000 steps to get there and to the top. And he's standing looking to Brazil. Dr. Billy Graham suggests to President Vigil that they should be down in the bottom, these inscriptions they are going to read for you in Colossians 1:27. To whom God will to make known what are the riches of his glory of this mystery. Here's the riches of the mystery. Remember, we start with the mystery. Among the Gentiles, among the people of the world. Here's a mystery. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is not Christ in a little picture hanging on the wall. It is not Christ in a little thing that you made, what an artist made. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. President Fitzgerald agree. And as you fly down, you see in gold those letters, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Big enough that you can see it as the plane go down. And as we land in San Pablo, and get busy during the day and doing the things of radio, I thought in that picture, cannot get it out of my head. Christ with the arm like that. And that sign of the scripture, the president did not put Colossians 1:27, so people don't know where that come from. But the Christ in you, the hope of glory. I wonder those pilgrims that they go those steps all the way up and they arrive there and they read Christ in you, the hope of glory. I wonder what they mean to them. You mean Christ in me? Christ in Brazil, the hope of glory. But and me? Christ in you, singular. You is singular. Singular. No Christ in all of us. Christ in you, singular. One by one. You need to have that Christ one by one. In the church, we don't give you Christ. We inform about your Christ. But Christ had to be one by one in each of our hearts. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then the mystery is going to go away. And Satan is going to be defeated again. I wonder if this Christmas will be a Christmas with the mystery of Christ is going to be no longer a mystery. It is not by reading book of science. It is not by reading history. It's by reading this small book called the Bible. The Bible tells us that Christ came in your place. Not only he died, he rose again and he moved to heaven and he's praying for us. And that's the mystery. But you have to come to believe in him. And how am I going to believe in him with so many contradictions in the Bible? Told me one guy right here on the street. And I told the fellow, you are an ignorant and that's, I respect your ignorance. But I tell you, he was mad because I called him an ignorant. But you're ignorant. Have you read the Bible? No, but I read books of science. I'm a doctor. Who cares? You only know part of the body. You know that there are doctors for the ear, doctor for the nose, doctor for the throat, doctor for the feet. Why? Because it's so complicated that you can never know all about it. But God knows all about you. You know why? He made you. That's why he knows everything. I wonder if you're going to be willing like that publican, that accountant in Luke 18 who said, God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. I cannot believe you. I did that myself. I told God, I cannot believe you. Grandma, I'm a student in science, and Grandma, I'm a soccer player. I cannot believe this. And Grandma died. And I believe later on. See, if you believe, now you have Christ in you. You don't need Christ in a picture. You don't need Christ in a little crucifix with Christ hanging on. I told one fellow, has a big one like this. I said, why don't you cut it from there and put it inside? Inside what? Inside your body. Say, I can't. Swallow. Cut it. He said, you're nuts. No, but that's what the Bible says. Christ in you is not hanging on the crucifix. It's Christ in you. People of God, don't play. Satan is playing with you. And is keeping you in darkness so that he can burn you in hell. But please, pray, God, be merciful unto me. Give me that gift of belief. And I will honor you. Jesus said, that man went home justified. Thank you, Father. We look for Christmas. God's gift. God's surprise gift. He surprised Satan. He surprised me too the day I believe. Lord, many of us can say, yes, sir, he surprised me too. I believe. Maybe there are others who do not believe here in the chapel and there on the airways and there in the tape ministry and CD ministry as they hear us. I pray, Lord, that in your mercy, you will cause these people to believe. And when all is done, we're going to be careful to give you the honor and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, come.
Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, come.
And ransom captive Israel. That mourns in lonely exile here. Until the Son of God appears.
Rejoice,
Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel.
Come, Emmanuel, come.
Oh, come, thou day spring of and
cheer.
Our spirits by thine advent
here.
Oh, drive away the shades of night and pierce the clouds and bring a light.
Rejoice,
Emmanuel
shall come
to thee, O Israel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, come.
Oh, come, thou King of David, come. And open wide our heavenly home, where all thy saints with thee shall dwell.
Oh, come, O come, Emmanuel. Rejoice,
Emmanuel
shall come
to thee, O Israel.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, come.
Come, O come, Emmanuel, come. Come, O come, Emmanuel, come. Come.
Usually I ask you to raise up and have the benediction, but today we have a very special day, and not only because Christmas is just a couple of days ahead, but because there is a young couple here sitting in the front line that the church wants to remember. And you don't see this, but I do here. He looks good and worried, and she looks so happy, and now they look so old. Here they are, Romulo and Anita Noriel. Let's give a hand for their 50th wedding anniversary.
Thank you for Anita and Romulo, who were pillars as we began our church. Thank you again for their family and how you blessed them with their children being saved. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for people who give a silent example of the mighty power of God. In Jesus, we thank you. Amen. Let's give a good hand again. Satan cannot stop people to be saved.
Amen.
Because Jesus has power. Yes. Oh Lord, make those who believe not to think again and to see that we as human beings cannot have a belief. Yeah, I believe. But with the Holy Spirit in us, working in us, we will become believers. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in our midst. In Jesus we thank you. Amen.
Amen.